In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys share their fondest holiday memories and traditions. Get in as we talk about big packages, muffins, and sitting on laps. Wait, we are talking about Christmas, right? COL 242 starts now. Sunday, December 22nd, 2013. I'm Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
I'm Eric.
It must be my sexuality, because I am so very sexual.
That would make me Gary.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl.
And I'm Robert.
Please, darling, your Auntie Mame's hung.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of the Indeterminate Length, episode number 242. And I have to say that I loved that last episode we did. It was awesome.
Yay.
Yeah, all I needed to do was like take a file, put it into a thing, and then put the intro music front, and then put it in a little introduction, and then do the little loop underneath, and then put the new theme at the end.
Nice.
Copy, paste a whole bunch of things. And code.
It's so awesome. So you're basically saying that you liked being lazy.
Actually, for all intents and purposes, what I did with the last week's episode, I basically do every week here. It's just I don't have to do the recording. I don't have to hit the buttons. There was just a few steps that were less. But otherwise, if you don't count the actual recording stuff, you know, the afterwards, the putting the show together part of it, it was pretty much the same. I do pretty much the exact same thing. Oh my God, were there a lot of tags? I was like, holy crap. Of course, with any of these, I just kind of I just copy and paste the tags because, well, you guys are great with tags. So I'm like, hey, I don't have to think about it because I suck at figuring out the tags.
Here's the funny thing about that. When we recorded the interview, it's a very long story, but basically it was going to be just Chess and I, and then Chess and Rock Hub and I, and then Chess had an engagement, so he was going to have to leave. So it was just going to be Rock Hub and I. And then Chess decided to stay, and then Gabe joined in, and then like a cavalcade of other people came into our room right as we were about to record. Like the MacBook was set up, the mic, the whole bit, and they're all like, "What are you doing?" And we're like, "We're about to record an episode of a podcast." And they're all like, "Oh!" And it was funny because one person was like, "Well, can we join in?" And I was like, "Sure." Although it was hard because now I realize there's going to be a minimum of 6 or 7 voices.
Oh, God.
Right, and that would be confusing. So then they were like, oh, you know what? Like, you guys were already ready to go. Like, so everybody leaves, and it's just the four of us. Well, actually, there was 5. There was a silent observer in the room.
Oh, my.
Well, no, because he's actually sat in on other podcasts. Like, he's actually participated, I think, about it on another podcast. But he just wanted to sit and listen to us talk, which was fine. His name's Matt. He's known as Wumpa Bear. He's from Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, I know Matt.
And so it was really kind of comical because so we recorded and the whole time that we're recording, I keep writing and I was writing all the tags and the guys didn't know what I was doing. Like they kept thinking I was like tracking something or like they didn't know the purpose of the taking notes. So when we got done recording finally, which I honestly had no intent of it taking that long, but it was great. And
yeah, fantastic.
So that I read off all the tags and they were like rolling on the bed and on the floor laughing their asses off because they didn't realize we talked about so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did go back and listen to the episode. I thought it turned out all right. I have a new mic that I'm using, so I'm hoping that this works better than what I was using before. What was I going to say? One of the people that we'll get to later who gave us feedback actually said something about on their recording version they listened to that they made a comment. They thought it was funny that we talked so long that you, Jeffrey, had actually sped up the speed to like almost chipmunk sounding because the interview ran so long or something like that. Like, because there was a joke about how long, oh, about me getting on a soapbox again. And apparently at about that point when he was listening to it, I think on his device, it sped up all the way to the end. Like, he could still understand everything, but it, I guess it sounded quite comical. And he thought that was dumb.
Okay, so he's somehow the download didn't work well or something like that. Well, I don't remember when I re-listened to everything, it didn't sound anything like that.
Well, right, and when I listened to it on my iPad through my Downcast app, it sounded fine. When I listened to it on my phone, when I take walks, it sounded fine. So that's what I was saying. I was like, I just think it was just your download. I don't think it was like iTunes pervasive or anything. But anyways. So yeah, so the tags made me laugh because I kept trying to write as we went along.
Yeah, we so yeah, and it was probably one of our longest intros too. by the way, none of this is bad at all, okay? I just want to clarify that. I'm just like some of the nuances, and I thought it was a great, great interview, and I'm glad that Gabriel and Chess and Rockup could talk with you. And, you know, it would have been nice to have those other people in there if they would just not talk and be like the audience and laugh at places or something, as if you were doing like a panel session or something. So I thought that would have been cool after that story. But hey, it worked out. It was a great episode. Let us know what you thought about that episode. Go to comesoutloud.com, comment on the blog, just an email, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And moving on into this week, though, yeah, let's talk about what's going on. So I was a little bit tied up on Wednesday.
You don't say.
So I had my first kind of bondage experience. Okay, let me tell you the story. Now, originally, I get this message from one of my bottoms. And he says to me, I had this fantasy about like being tied to the top and tied tight enough that after he came, he wouldn't be able to come out. So it's not like a you come, you're pumping on, the top finishes, and then you know a lot of the times he pulls out pretty much right away. In this case, he doesn't, and he just kind of stays in for a while.
Interesting.
So he's like, well, okay. There was this really adorable guy that's huge into bondage that I one time met. And so I messaged him on Recon saying, hey, here's the fantasy. Would you be interested in helping us out? So Wednesday, he helps us out with this. The only thing is there were a few problems. I wasn't able to stay hard. Because here we are lying on the bed, and it blindfolded me, blindfolded him, and he starts tying us up, and it's just like time is going, and we're not moving or anything, so it kind of ends up not working out so well. The bottom becomes claustrophobic, so I found out he's not so much into the whole bondage thing. But dude, I was loving it. It was actually kind of nice getting tied up to him, and kind of wish he would at least have, even though I wasn't hard, at least finished tying us up, and that would have been interesting. But so he got up from the bed and got untied, and I was like, I don't want to waste your time. Tie me up. Mm-hmm. And he tied me up. It wasn't anything like major fantastic or anything like that. It was, and so I got tied up and was tied up, and they put me up, just had me sit on the couch for a while, and play with me came on me, or the bomb came on me. The bondage guy kind of sat back and watched, be like, nice, looking at his work. It was kind of awesome, and I want to do it again. So I've learned I'm kind of interested in bondage. He mentioned something about mummification. I'm not sure if I'll go that far yet.
Yeah, mummification. If you're claustrophobic, hell to no.
Well see, I wasn't the one who was claustrophobic, by the way.
I know.
I was blindfolded, and I'm just feeling all these, like, besides the fact the guy's hands are awesome. So, anyways, that's me. So I was all tied up this week. Feeling weird. I've been aching, tired a lot lately. So I'm not feeling 100%, but fine. It's weird. That's just me. Moving on. Damon, what do you got?
Yeah, it's been a week, a couple of weeks, actually. Last weekend, the men's chorus, Cincinnati men's chorus.
Oh, okay. There we go.
We had our Tinseltown concerts. They were both sold out, which was great. They were actually sold out almost a week before the show. So, wow. Which is pretty freaking amazing. I don't think we've ever had both shows sell out this early. And yet, then again, both shows sell out, period. So, pretty awesome. We are attributing it to we're now doing assigned seating. And we had a lot of more promotion going out. We have about 20 new chorus members this season. So, I think we're attributing all of it to that, which is great. You know, it's awesome that we can sell out a show a week before. So they're kind of pimping our next show now so that people can be like, oh, cool. Let's go see the show because we may not have time to get the tickets and then we might not even get the chance to see it. So, yeah. But shows went really well. Tinseltown was the general theme was holiday music from the movies, quote unquote. You know, some of our stuff was from more documentaries, and there were a couple of songs that we did that weren't from actual movies. We did an arrangement of Let's All Go to the Lobby, you know, the movie song, Let's All Go to the Lobby, you know, and we did it with in just the traditional form, and then it was arranged to do Shakespeare, Beethoven's Ode to Joy, the Can-Can song, all those different kind of fun classical arrangements. It was hilarious. The audience loved it. This concert was really fun. And honestly, I often say this, and I always feel bad saying it. I have a real issue with how our director drives us, and every time I'm kind of like, oh, this is so terrible. I can't believe we're kind of going through this, and oh my God, shut the fuck up, Casey. But other times, then I get to the concert and I listen to how we're sounding and the audience is reacting and they are loving what we're doing. It's that's what makes it worth it. And yeah, it gets crazy and terrible, and I want to pull my hair out and punch Casey in the face sometimes. But other times, I realize the reason behind it is that we present this amazing show for our audience, and they love it, and that makes it worthwhile to me. Because to me, that's pretty freaking sweet. So yeah, great time.
Gary.
Gary.
Sorry. Gary. I was on mute and I couldn't hit the damn mute button because a bubble popped over it and I had to wait for it to fade away. Anyways. So as people heard, if they listened to the last episode, I went to Indianapolis, Indiana, and went to Midwest Bear Fest and had a really good weekend overall. I participated in some of the run events, not all of them, which I think is the joy that if you listen to the interview, we talk about, like, you can pick and choose what you want to do. You don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
So Indianapolis was good fun. I got to reconnect with some friends, make some new friendships, and just really have good fond memories of the weekend itself. The travel home, however, was a totally different story. I'll start with this and then explain what happened. There is no known cause. A number of people that went to the run got sick. And the presumption right now is that it's not a foodborne illness and it's not a neurovirus, which is sometimes known as Norwalk or cruise ship virus. There's a presumption that it's flu, although there's a couple theories about some other stuff. So consequently, on my ride home on Monday, I stayed over Sunday night to Monday. I was on my way to Cincinnati and I had actually reached out to Rock Hub. To Jeff, and was like, hey, like, are you available to get together for lunch? And at first he was like, yes. And then he said, actually, I'm going home early. I'm not feeling well. And I said, oh. And he said, but if you want to meet and have a drink, you know, like cup of coffee kind of thing, that's fine. So actually we met up at a Bob Evans and chatted about the weekend and about some stuff in our lives. And while I was there, I realized on my way to meeting him, I wasn't feeling well. And consequently, I went to the bathroom several times at Bob Evans and was not having a good experience. And then ended up realizing I could not make the ride home. Like there was no way I was going to continue all the way back to Erie. So I actually went to Jeff's house and then called my dad from there and was like, I'm coming to your place. Like, luckily he answered and I was like, I'm coming to your place. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go to Kroger and I need you to buy crackers and 7-Up and Imodium. And I'm coming to your house and I'm crashing overnight because I am sicker than a dog.
Ugh.
So that's what I did. And I stayed with my dad for about 16 hours and rested. I'll save all the gory details. Let's just say that the body didn't want anything in it in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, God.
And traveling, it's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know when the next where the next facility
evacuation
might be. Yes.
Oh.
So I ended up unfortunately being sick with that, and part of the folks that I roomed with, friends, acquaintances, folks that I know at the run had also fallen ill. It took until yesterday to be the first actual full day since this started on Monday for me to feel like back to normal.
Wow.
Well, glad you're back to normal.
So am I. So here's the thing I wanted to let folks know, because I know that there was some talk about, you know, that like at first, of course, some people were like, oh, you know, it's kennel cough, which is a notorious sort of urban legend about you go to a bear run and then you get sick afterwards. And I tried to explain to people, I'm like, that's not the same thing. Like when you get sore throat and a head cold and like that kind of a deal, that's usually what we refer to as kennel cough. Like when you can't keep anything down and anything inside your body, that's something totally different.
Yeah.
So, and it was funny because someone was like, well, what do you think caused it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. A bear run is nothing but a Petri dish. Like you have several hundred people in an enclosed space for several days.
Yeah.
And we're very affectionate. So, and yeah. You know, and even if you're not like hooking up, so to speak, you know, there's lots of hugs and kisses and that kind of stuff. So it's not, you know, like down and dirty, but you're just kind of around other people. And the saddest thing is that someone could have been sick and be well and not know that they're still carrying things with them. And then it just kind of spreads around. So,
yeah.
I'm not trying to scare people away and say you shouldn't go to a bear run. Cause then like someone was like, well, I don't think I ever want to go to one if people always get sick. And I'm like, you don't. It's the luck of the draw, so to speak. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
No pun intended. So,
but damn it.
I'm still kind of leaning towards the flu thing. And I'm going to tell people this because some people were like, well, do you get flu shots? And I was like, no. But I will say this. If you have not been ill in a while or like do get a flu shot or whatever, if you get this, it takes you down. And the best thing I learned for me personally was Imodium religiously for like 2 days and like water or 7-Up because you need to stay hydrated and tons of rest. Like that's purely it. And I don't know if going to a doctor to get an antibiotic is really going to do a whole lot, but
Yeah.
I was going to say, cause I had these very exact same thing that you had, Gary, and it swept through my family in about 2 days.
Yeah.
We all were fine. And then by the end of the second day, every single one of us was having an issue. So, yes, that's a fun thing. And actually, that's actually been sweeping through work, too. So it's not just you guys. It's been sweeping through work. I've heard a lot of people have problems with this.
Yeah. I think like Gary was saying, it's the quote unquote Petri dish thing. It's the whole, you know, there are tons of people in one single space doing everything.
Various activities.
Yeah, various activities. But they're all, you know, they're within close proximity of each other. It takes really just one person to not be feeling 100%, and then it kind of spread from there. You know, you get some.
And this thing has such a short incubation time too, because you go from being fine to being sick within a matter of hours.
Yeah,
it's not like the rhinovirus. It's not like getting a head cold, where it takes a week for you to actually start getting to the point where you are sick, and then takes a week for you to get better. This thing hits, and it hits hard, and it hits fast.
Yeah.
So you know. Oh God! I guess it's just immune system. Yeah, I guess it's just going to be the episode of gastrointestinal issues.
Lovely. Oh, okay, so Robert.
Hello.
What's this?
Yeah, fun in hospitals. Yeah, not myself. I've talked about my mom on the show. She's not well, and then for like the past month or so, she's had her own series of health-related gastrointestinal issues. And we could not figure out why it was happening. And we're not talking just like once a day. We're talking 4 or 5 times a day, chronic issues. And we were trying to keep her hydrated, giving her Gatorade. I mean, we were pouring liquid into her.
Yeah.
And as soon as we were pouring it in, it was coming out.
Oh.
And so finally, and this was affecting her electrolytes, which was affecting her heartbeat and her heart, her pulse, or her blood pressure and her sugar. We could not get her blood sugar above 50.
Wow.
A couple of days. She was still fine. She was still functioning, but we couldn't get it above 50. And then her blood pressure fell. The lowest we ever had it was, I believe, 87.
Wow.
Top number. I don't remember what the bottom number was. And so finally, after 2 days of that, we were like, okay, we're done. We're putting you in the hospital. We put her in the hospital. The doctors took a look at her, did an endoscopy to see if everything was okay, because she was also having bleeding. And so we put her in the hospital, and doctor's like, well, there's nothing down there that we need to worry about. She doesn't have IBS. She doesn't have Crohn's disease. You know, there's nothing there. We think it's the medications that she's on. Because in that month, she had her sugar pill, because she's diabetic, and she's on metformin instant release. She was. Mm-hmm. Instant release is very difficult for your body to deal with, because it floods your body with glucose immediately. There is no kind of gentle easing into it like your body would do it. And then on top of that, the doctor changed her arthritis meds in order to, for some reason. And then within that month, he also, one of the doctors put her on thyroid med because she was starting to have trouble digesting her food. So we think it was a perfect storm
between
the glucose medication, the arthritis medication, and her thyroid meds. That just sort of, once everything got up to full steam in her system, just went for it. And so she spent 2 days in the hospital. The doctor released her. We don't know why. Didn't give any instructions, didn't let us know, didn't tell anybody. That was my week with mom. And then being at work, I've been on the phones and dealing with everybody's holiday bullshit.
Oh,
and then dealing with Target's breach of the security of the credit cards. If you have a problem with your credit card or think there might be a problem, please contact Target, your local Target store. They have a 1-800 number that you can call. Contact your bank, contact your credit card company. The people at the store cannot do anything for you.
God, please
do not yell at us. There is nothing we can do for you. We're sympathetic because a lot of us, just like you, have the Target card, have credit cards, or have the Target debit card with this company. We are feeling your pain.
Yeah.
But do not yell at the store. There's nothing the store can do for you. Nothing. Not a thing. Although we are offering a 10% off discount for the entire weekend.
Yay.
Everything in the store, 10% off. But I don't know how many people that's going to help, especially once they listen to this and it's going to be after the fact. So,
well, it helped me because not to interrupt you, Robert, but I did happen because you posted about don't go shopping at Target because you're the problem.
No, I said if you're shopping at Target this weekend, you're part of the problem.
But, okay, so, and I admitted that I went shopping at Target yesterday because I will, full faith and honesty, I went to Bed Bath & Beyond because I was looking for two of a certain type of gift and they didn't have them and I was very irritated. So I walked over to Target and you had a bunch of what I needed, so I bought two and along with some other things. And yes, it was fucking crowded and there were long lines. And I checked out and I noticed that when, I think her name was Casey, brings me out, she scanned this auto coupon thing that she'd been doing for everybody in front of me. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that's about. And then sure enough, it took 10% off. And I was like, sweet.
Well, you know, I didn't even know about it until I was at work and I got Starbucks. And she took 10%. I gave her my employee card. And she took the 10% off that. And then she can't. I go, okay, what did you just scan? And she goes, oh, it's a 10% off we're doing for everybody for this weekend. I was like, oh, okay, because we done fucked up. You're getting 10% off.
Everybody.
Awesome.
Everybody get 10% off.
Everybody get 10% off. Everybody gets the Target employee discount. So, yeah, no, I know. I wasn't there the day it broke. I have come in and dealt with little bits and pieces, but yesterday I was on the phones all day long and I had this woman rake my ass over the coals for 10 minutes. And literally I had to talk her off the ledge and be like, okay, she's like, well, I want to come in and cancel my card. I go, ma'am, there's no way for us to cancel your card here at the store. No, you don't understand. I need to cancel my card right now. I'm a mother and a businesswoman. I always love when they add that. Yeah. I'm a mother and a businesswoman and I don't have time to deal with this. She goes, they keep hanging up on me. And I go, ma'am, up to 40 million people have potentially been exposed. I think that the number that you have and the number I have are going to be experiencing technical difficulties based on the sheer call volume.
Yeah.
I said, I can give you a number I have. I received an email myself last night explaining exactly what has happened and what Target is doing to protect everybody. Your bank and Target both will be liable for any spurious charges that appear on any of your cards for this. I go.
And just to kind of speed things up here, Target actually has a complete FAQ on their website. And so actually, if you just go to target.com, right at the top, it says important notice on authorized access to payment cards in the U.S. Click right there. It'll give you a link to a message, some information, information about contacting the credit bureaus and other places. Right at the bottom, there is a link to their FAQ about this. So if you have any questions regarding it, I recommend just going to the Target website, clicking on those links to get more important information about it. So, again, if you have any problems with Target cards, contact the card vendor. Do not contact the retail place because they're going to know crap about that.
Yeah.
And honestly, for all intents and purposes, I would think that would be logical. Because have you seen the people who work there? I mean,
logic runs out the door when it's affecting your
this
money.
Is just me expressing how to avoid stupidity or at least making yourself look stupid. Because I don't know about you, but if somebody, if I was still working at Shopko had a card and somebody came up to me and says, I need to cancel this card, I'd be like, well, why don't you contact the vendor? Because I'd be like, I know nothing about that. I can swipe it and if you want to purchase something. Since we're at the service desk, if you have something to return, I can put it back on the card, but I can't do anything beyond that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's like people think that because Target owned Mervyn's used to do a lot of more service mm-hmm. with their cards inside the store. They could look up numbers, all that kind of stuff. We cannot do that. And mm-hmm. it's a security thing. It's both for the security of the company and the security of the guest. Exactly. But the thing is that this woman really wanted to cancel her card. And I said, ma'am, one point in time, I said, ma'am, there is no way as for us physically able to do that for you. Our computers will not allow us to do that for you. We cannot cancel your card here in the store. You're going to have to call the number. And then it was another 5 minutes of her going off her head. And I was just like, ma'am, I understand. I really do. You just need to call the number and keep trying because a lot of people have been exposed. A lot of people have questions. You're not the only one. It's going to take some time. So anyway. Yeah. But yeah, that was my day yesterday. It was sort of a what's going on? Oh God, I did that. Oh God, please don't do that to me again.
Nice.
So yeah. Anyway, cool. Jeff, I think we had some feedback.
Oh, you mean some Yes, we do.
I think you need little posties on those keys where, like, okay, this is the feedback ones. So you're not going to
Anywho.
Well, I'm paying attention to one computer, then I have to switch into the other computer and everything. I knew exactly what key I needed to use for that. So it's feedback. So I hit F.
Okay.
Over on Bear Underground, we had four people join the group since the last time we discussed this. We had an Army Eater, Travel Bear 69, Fury of Firestorm, and Tome Bear. And Tome Bear looks so familiar, like I've seen him in person or something. I can't remember where or how. What have you. So weird. Also on Google Plus, we had Shane Taylor, Circle Us Up, and also a guy named Matt. Usually referred to him as Fuzzbutt. Adorable. Also over on Facebook, we had James Lender Jr., who liked us, and we appreciate that very much. So it's that time again. It's time for Jeff's Shot of the Week. I got two shots. But needless to say, I could probably put this shot into a nice hot chocolate. And that way I don't need to put some stuff that would just kind of float on top and I have to wait for it to melt. That's marshmallows. So I've got marshmallow vodka,
ooh,
which smells very marshmallowy. And tastes very marshmallowy. So that's that. I also have some vanilla vodka, but
yay.
That wasn't as impressive. But hey, it's vanilla. It's don't get me wrong, great taste. I love vanilla. I think vanilla is like one of the most awesome things. It's always so smooth and everything. I did put some of that into some Diet Coke.
Shot of the week.
Yeah, so the marshmallow vodka, I'm still trying to figure out some other ways to use it, but really, if you like make yourself some hot chocolate, add a shot of marshmallow vodka, it's actually very tasty. It's like you've already got the marshmallows already melted into the
I think some people tend to use marshmallow vodka and orange juice to do kind of like a creamsicle kind of thing. And then I know with pineapple juice they kind of make it a janky pina colada, not quite without the colada.
I almost think that I should kind of add this into like my grasshopper pie. Huh. Kind of make it a little more marshmallowy tasty. You know, I've already started off with 20 large marshmallows.
True.
But 20 large marshmallows and then some marshmallow vodka and then cream de menthe and then cream de cocoa. Ooh, that would be an interesting shot. Cream de cocoa and a marshmallow vodka. Wow. That would be
interesting. Like a drunk hot chocolate.
Something like that. Except not necessarily hot. Also, quick here, a movie moment for me, believe it or not. Last night, I rented Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ooh.
The best cartoon real-life movie ever.
What about Cool World?
Oh, God.
Honestly, I've never seen Cool World, but I don't think it's probably not nowhere near as good as...
It's not.
Yeah, so... I'm going to stay off of that. But if you guys haven't seen, if anybody, and I'd be surprised if this is true for anybody, but if anybody has not seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, something is wrong with you. And you need to go, right now and get and rent it on iTunes or Amazon. One of the two. So. Rent it at least, if not purchase it. All out. I'm kind of upset that I didn't actually do that. But I do have the Blu-ray on my wish list. So if anybody wants to get that for me for Christmas or anytime, pop over to my wish list and purchase it. It'll go directly to you. Anyways. Awesome. And Eric, I believe, is connected right now, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. You had a little glitch there, so I wanted to just verify. And what's going on over there in the comics?
Well, I'm getting Chester into reading some of the classic comic book runs because, what is it? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when they came on TV, he realized he might actually like reading comic books again. So I started him off with the Avengers because he was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's the closest thing, and Tracy Hickman's the current writer for it.
Mm-hmm.
And after reading the first dozen or so issues of that, he is absolutely in love with Tracy Hickman. So I dug out all of my old Fantastic Four run for Tracy Hickman. And let me tell you, this is the most amazing comic book stuff I've read in a long time. It's sweet. It's family orientated. The whole storyline, which is like 5 years worth of a story, really is just one long extended story between Reed Richards and his daughter Valeria. I mean, a lot of stuff goes on in between it, but when you read it together in short succession, it's amazing. It's like this comic book novel.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what Tracy Hickman's known for, though.
Well, this is only like his third storyline he's done, so... A lot of people.
I'm talking about where he came from. He and Margaret Weis, if you don't know, famous Dragonlance novelists, basically created the whole Dragonlance universe. He's a author within his own right, has published with his wife.
You just caught me. I just realized I'm saying Tracy Hickman and I mean Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Never mind.
I'm sorry. That was my mistake. I agree. I'm very familiar with Dragonlance and all the Raistlin and what's his name? Karaman.
The Time of the Twins. Yeah.
Yes.
The Twins books. I mean, for those of you who have never read a Dragonlance novel, I suggest the Dragons series, the Dragons of the Autumn Dawning, that kind of thing. Also recommend Time of the Twins series. Greatest Dragonlance novels ever. Seriously. But anyway, Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman left the series for a number of years and came back. And anyway, Tracy Hickman is a fabulous artist or a fabulous writer. But Eric's Jonathan Hickman. Yes. Good writer, too. Thank you.
Nice.
So anyway, if you got comic books, go
so
check them
Hickman,
out.
So little time.
Alrighty.
All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Let's talk about our topic. Oh, that's kind of focused. We're talking about the favorite holiday seasons, memories, and traditions. So I think I probably have mentioned this in a previous show. I'm not sure if with you guys necessarily. But let me talk about the traditions of us and how they've changed.
Ha-ha.
So with our family, when we were all living in the same house, my brother was downstairs. My sister and I were upstairs with mom and dad with the master bedroom. In the morning, my mother would come out and close and take the doors from our linen closet and our coat closet and like open them both. And since they were right across from each other, they kind of ran into each other. So she basically blocked off my sister, mine, and my parents' bedroom and the bathroom from seeing into the living room at all. And she would go do her little preparing thing for breakfast, which is always orange Julius and blueberry muffins. Always. My brother is downstairs, so he could do whatever he needed down there, but he had to stay down there until he was called up. So no one was able to see the tree or anything right away in the morning. We had to get dressed. We had to make our bed and be, you know, be showered and everything and all nice. And then eventually they would release us so we could go look at the tree. We'd go, ooh, ah, with the tree and all the presents underneath because Santa had come by. And we would open our stockings. We'd start off with me because I was the youngest, then my sister, then my brother, then my dad, and then my mom. So we went from youngest to oldest, and we just kind of ran, went around. At that time, we would probably have some of our orange Julius because I was already made and the blueberry muffins were baking still. Then we would go have our blueberry muffins for breakfast, and then we would go back into the living room, and we would do the same thing. So we'd be opening presents, me, sister, brother, dad, mom, me, sister, brother. And we would just kind of circle around and do that, and one of us would usually be an elf and kind of sorting through everything underneath the Christmas tree. So we really had this tradition. So the basic idea is we do the round robin of gifts and stockings, and we would have orange Julius and blueberry muffins. Oh, which reminds me, I need to get ingredients for blueberry muffins so I can make them for Christmas Day. So because now that I've been a fan of Good Eats, I make my own blueberry muffins. I've got Pam and everything so that I can do it. Anyways, and nowadays, since we're all kind of scattered around, hold on a sec. Okay, hopefully I sound better and not buzzing.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, good. Sorry, I had to take out my thing. Anyways, so now we do pretty much the same thing. So I need to go get ingredients for all my for the orange Julius I need to make and the blueberry muffins I need to make. The only difference is I make them from scratch instead of using a box. I use the Good Eats recipe. And we do it by Skype because I live down here in Austin, Texas. My parents and sister live in Minnesota and my brother lives in Washington. So I make sure that I have a Skype premium account and we can do a three-way video call.
Aww.
And we do a three-way video call and it's a lot less formal. There's actually a lot less gifts. Well, but yeah. So right now, what I need to do for Christmas right now, for what I plan on doing at least, besides getting the ingredients for the appropriate munchies for Christmas morning, I'm going to, right behind me, I have my breakfast bar for my kitchen, and I'm going to clear off that and put up a little tree and put some lights on it. And I'm going to put all my gifts on, try to fit all my gifts on that bar. Although now that I've got my parents' package, which is another debacle, I might not be able to fit all the presents up there. But that should be okay. One thing I'm going to do is one of the items that were in the box that my parents sent was, and this is awesome, and I'll it's probably one of those things where I'll quote unquote open on Christmas because it wasn't wrapped or anything. But my grandpa Carpenter died last year, which is why I have my television. And my mother had made a quillo, which is like a blanket which has a little pocket which you can fold it up and make it into kind of like a pillowish sort of thing. It's really, really neat. And she had made a quillo, and she sent it to me. So I now have my grandfather's quillo. And I love quillos, by the way. These things are just really awesome. Just because you can easily like put it somewhere in a fold in this folded pillow sort of configuration, and then kind of switch it out. And then what I like to do is I like to put my feet in the pocket where you fold the quillo into, and that keeps my feet warm. So now I actually now have two quillos. One was a cow print pillow that I had my mom made for Carl. And then I have this quillo that was made for my grandpa. So I've got two dead people's quillos.
Oh, God.
That sounds morbid, but it's more of – it's nice because it's kind of a memory of those people. Even though my grandpa Carpenter and I never really had any sort of real connection or anything. But it's a beautiful quillo. It's got like ducks on there because he was kind of a nature ducky sort of person. It's really much, very much like my grandpa. So while we didn't have much of a connection, she decided to send me something to really remember my grandpa by. Besides the fact that I got $1,000 from him and I bought a television using it. So I got a television and a quillo to remember my grandpa by. she put a stocking in there, so we'll be opening that on Christmas. I didn't look too much into that, but so what I'll probably do is have the quillo like around my shoulders during the video call. Aww. So it's like, oh, by the way, I've got a quillo. and then read the little message my mom included, and she said it was okay to open up the box and see all that. So
cool.
That's just good on that. Right now I'm pretty much keeping it in the box because I don't want to get it dirty until, you know, Christmas when I'm supposed to be opening and stuff.
Okay. Cool.
Well, I'm rambling about stuff, but that's my Christmas traditions. I do remember when we first got a Nintendo. Oh, I was so excited. I was also blonde at the time. And like five or something like that. But we got a Nintendo, and I remember this picture of me. I kind of remember actually opening it because I think I was the one who got to open it. And we were just so excited because my parents weren't about gaming system at all. I think the only gaming systems we ever really had was an Atari 2600 and this Nintendo that we eventually got. So I love that thing, by the way.
Awesome.
Okay.
So that's my Christmas stuff now that I've done rambling. It looks like we got a little over half an hour left here. Robert, why don't we have you go?
Okay. So Christmas traditions. I was tortured by my family.
Yay!
because I was the Snoopy one of the family. I always knew what I was getting.
Oh, so you were my sister.
Yeah. But the thing is that my family inevitably every year had a box underneath the tree that had somebody's name on it. And it was generally a large box and it was wrapped and there was nothing in it.
Oh, my.
So that was as a child up until about the age of 10. After that, it was, okay, well, you can have your stocking. So it became, I'm not joking, midnight, Robert was in his stocking. That was once I knew that Santa didn't exist. And then...
Wait a minute, Santa doesn't exist?
Oh, no, gosh. Despite your fetish, Jeff, no, he doesn't.
Damn.
So anyway, as we've gotten older, gifts have become smaller, more expensive. And now my family... Unfortunately, Christmas doesn't hold the same kind of hold over us as it did when we were children. So there's usually an exchange of cards, and that's pretty much it. Nice. We used to have these huge family breakfasts. My aunt doesn't do that anymore because she essentially was the cook in the family, the one who did all the family meals. So she doesn't do that anymore. You know, it just Christmas now is just very small, very personal. And it's not like it used to be when I was a kid. As far as, you know, traditions, the big family meals were always a tradition. My aunt still does dinner, but, you know, now it's just the immediate family. There's no extra added to that, you know, that kind of stuff. Because all the old people in the family are essentially gone or they are here. So it's not like we have to bust in, you know, grandmothers and grandfathers and great aunts and uncles and that kind of stuff. So, you know, our Christmases are very small now, and which is nice. You know, it's, you know, you don't need much. So anyway, I'm done.
All righty.
Damon.
Okay, sure. Well, I guess for a lot of people, Christmas, when you're a child, starts out as this, you know, magical kind of fantasy and blah, 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 and Santa. And then you get up, you grow up, you realize Santa isn't real. And as family kind of drifts apart, things kind of change. For my family, that's definitely what happened. We used to, and this was before my parents' divorce, we would spend Christmas Eve with my dad's side of the family doing a gift exchange. We'd always, around Thanksgiving, we would draw names. You know, everyone put their name in the hat or a stocking or whatever, and everyone drew a name, and you had to get a gift for that person every year. You know, it was a fun thing. And that didn't just happen with my dad's side of the family. It also happened with my mom's side of the family. So Christmas Eve, we would do it with my dad's family. Christmas Day, we would go to my mom's side of the family. Bigger meal. My mom's family is much larger. and we would do Christmas gift exchange. And it was always fun because our family are... especially my mom's side of the family, is a family of smartasses. I would go ahead and say it point blank. The women in my mom's side of the family are just snarky McSnarkersons all over the place. And you can never get anything out without saying, you know, something kind of being a comment or whatnot. And it's fun and it's funny and you're always laughing. So the gifts would always be it would always be nice, but it always kind of have a little kind of zing to it. So I loved watching my mom's and her aunt and my aunts, and which are her sisters, you know, opening their gifts, because sometimes an aunt or another family member would get them. And it just was so hilarious. I can't remember a specific time, but just overall, every year, it was very fun, very hilarious, and very and awesome. After that, we started to focus more on having Thanksgiving for my mom's side of the family be the holiday that we would spend together and do everything and kind of have the family time. Christmas became more of a separate kind of thing. So my mom, one of the favorite things and one of my favorite memories and things with her is... I don't know if your moms do this, but my mom loves wrapping gifts and she loves buying gifts for people. But what she loves to do is she loves the name tags and, you know, how to somebody from somebody. And she lied often on the name tags. Now, she would get all the gifts or most of them. Don't get me wrong. We, you know, the older brothers and stuff will sometimes get stuff for each other. But my mom would write name tags on gifts that she bought for herself or she bought herself to give to us. But she would say, instead of from mom to Damon, she would be like from your brother, like from Chris to Damon or from Damon to your brother or from your sister to your, you know, it just, it, and it was just, And she does that every year. We know now that clearly we did not buy this gift for someone else, you know. But it just I think it added to the spirit of giving and all of that stuff. But it's funny now, but when you were a child, it made so much sense. Oh, you got this from your sister. Okay, cool. Ha ha, yay. You know, you really didn't get it from her. You got it from mom. that's my, like, the one thing I always enjoy. Because no matter what, she still does it to this day. I am sure when I get home in a couple of days, there will be presents that will be from me to my brother, for example, that I did not buy. And I know I didn't buy. So, yeah, but it's fun and it's cute. So, there we go. Eric?
Well, Christmas is growing up, we were always in a weird sort of place because my mom didn't like my mom's side of the family or my dad's side of the family. And most of the time we were in another country, so they were pretty quiet. So my favorite Christmas holidays tend to be the ones I've had over the last several years with my partner, Chester.
Oh, right.
We don't have a lot of traditions per se. Chester goes overboard because we were both kind of from poor families. We always pick up a couple of donation kids from different groups, Toys for Tots and things like that, and we'll pick them up and go overboard on them. And then actual Christmas Day, usually we'll hang out in the morning. Since we've moved up here, we trek around about 2.5 hours to visit all the kids Christmas morning. And then usually we'll go out with friends' families and hang out and have a big dinner. And then come home and just relax and not deal with anybody.
Yes.
So
that is the best thing in the world to do.
Yeah, it's nice because you get to gift people without making it a big deal. You get to see some people without having to stay because they're not your family. You don't have the old drama. And I get to avoid all my own family's redneck drama in Texas.
Yeah. One thing I forgot about current traditions for me was the fact that usually on Christmas I go up to the Dankovich's, which I did to Thanksgiving this year too. Who essentially are kind of like a second family. They used to live next to us during when we were living in Socrates, New York, and we just stayed in contact and it's always had a good tradition. So I always have a meal, have a family-ish type meal every Christmas as well. So since you mentioned going to other people's places, I thought I'd throw that in.
Gary.
So I was thinking about this. The family traditions have kind of changed over the years. The way we used to do gift exchanges in the past, you drew a name, and now we've moved to a more like kind of Dirty Santa, White Elephant style.
Oh.
Which is kind of fun, but I don't know. I think I prefer the having a name because you know the person and then you can work to figure out what you can get them. So, and that's in regards to my mother's side of the family. My dad's side of the family is it's going to sound awful to say you like a side of the family better. I just like the fact that we get together and for them, it's all about games and like, you know, board games or card games and bullshit and food.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about pomp and circumstance or ceremony and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's interesting is that my dad's family does not drink really. They're not drinkers per se. It's not that they're prohibitionists or, you know, anti-alcohol. They just don't really drink. But my mother's family is the ones that drink, and they're the ones that are, I guess, more formal. I don't know. maybe there's a connection there. So my favorite Christmas memory, I have to say, is probably when my parents were married. They divorced when I was about 10 or 11, so I probably was about maybe 8 or 9. My mom worked third shift as a registered nurse at a hospital. So Christmas was always sort of torturous for me because she always had to work Christmas Eve. Oh. And I had to wait until she got home before we could open presents. And the one particular Christmas that she came home, there that actually she came home very late. There was a big ass box in the living room. And I mean, it was like almost bigger than me. And I could not figure out for the life of me what in the hell was inside the box. And my dad thought I was going to have a stroke before my mother got home, because there was a horrible snowstorm that year. And what normally took my mother about 20, 25 minutes to get home from work took like 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it was nearly like noon by the time she got home. I don't even I don't remember the angst per se. I remember like just dying to know what was inside. And there was a little bit of disappointment, because in my foolishness at that age, I had really wanted a pony.
Oh, no.
Really, 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 really badly. And logic dictates that the size of the box and the dimensions and the fact that there were no air holes or sounds coming from it most likely would mean it was not a pony.
Nice.
But so finally when she got home, I got to open up and it was an electric organ.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny, because they're not anywhere near as popular as they used to be. It's a bit of a throwback to my parents' generation, where usually if you had someone musically inclined in the family, there was a piano, like an upright piano or an electric organ in the house, and you practice music. And by then I had already started taking into liking music. So that's why I had gotten an electric keyboard organ on four legs that was in the box ready to go. So I don't have it anymore. I don't know what we did with it. Most likely we gave it away after many years. But it's probably one of my favorite memories, only because I just remember waking up in the morning and not knowing what in the hell this thing was in a big ass box. And getting it. And then the second favorite memory I actually have real quick is we had gotten together, and when we went to dad's side of the family, you know, I was the oldest of all the grandkids. So all the grandkids get their presents, you know, from all the other aunts and uncles, and all the kids got presents but me.
Oh, no.
I was like, how old was I at that point? I want to say I was like maybe 12 or 13. And I think my parents had separated, but my dad had come in for the weekend with family. And I will never forget, we were out at my aunt and uncle's, and everyone gets all their presents and they're opening them. And I'm just sitting there and I'm watching. My dad said he wished they'd had a video camera and had taped watching me watch all the kids.
Oh, no.
Because apparently I like was okay at first, and then I just like got more and more depressed looking. And not angry or sad, but kind of sour, like – everybody else gets presents, but I don't get presents. Like, I never said anything. I was quiet the entire time. But my parents said eventually at some point it looked like I was nearly going to burst into tears, because all the rest of the kids got presents. And then, like, that was it. Like, I never got anything. And I had rationalized in my head, well, maybe I'm too old now. Like, because I think I must have turned 13. It was like in my head I must have been like, oh, now I'm a teenager. Now I don't get presents or something weird. And then I remember that I think my uncle or my dad kind of made a big thing about like the kids had to like clean up everything. Like they had to get all the gift wrap out of the way and move their presents and stuff. And then my dad came wheeling out of the back of the house with a 10-speed light blue Schwinn.
Uh-huh.
And that was my Christmas present from the family.
Oh.
And nice. It was quite the emotional turnaround from dejection to absolute elation. And I still think about that bike every now and then. Unfortunately, a couple years later, I flipped myself front end over it and gave myself a concussion. But that was a whole other story.
Wow. Well, at least you're still fine.
Well, yeah. I didn't share a Christmas memory except outside of being tortured by my family. I have a big box Christmas story too. I was 10, I think 10 or 11, 10. And this is back when Transformers were really popular. I was 9, because it was a Christmas before we got our Nintendo. So I was 9. My brother was 7. We were big into Transformers. Could have been 11. Anyway, doesn't matter. And so Christmas morning, we're all sitting there, and my mom and my aunt come out from the back of the house, and they're carrying this box. I mean, as a kid, you look at the box and you go, that's a big box. You know, this box was big enough for me to fit in. And so I was looking at it, and my brother and I were allowed to finally touch it, and we opened it up, and it was full of Transformers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had spent like probably close to $300 on Transformers.
Wow.
For my brother. And it was in, now, I don't know if any of you know what a Zodis is. Zodis was a Kmart, kind of Kmart, for California. And it was sort of like Zodis, Jimco, Federated, Kmart. Yeah. They were all kind of the same kind of store, but they got it from, they got it all from Zodis. And it's this huge Zodis box. And yeah, they spent like $300 on Transformers. I had, we, at that point in time, we had every Transformer that they had made.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm sitting here with a shitting grin on my face because I still remember that feeling, you know, of all getting all those toys. Anyway, so enough about me. Don't we have some, yeah. Oh yeah, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing that I could think of was the fact that I once yelled at my sister because of something and told her she was getting a peaches and cream Barbie for Christmas.
Oh,
she didn't believe me.
Wow.
Then she was surprised when she got a peaches and cream for Barbie for Christmas.
Was there $300 in the box if you can find one?
Well, nowadays, right?
Yeah,
I think it was like 20 or something like that, way back in 1984,
nice.
Or whenever it was. But yeah, so she got a peaches and cream Barbie for it.
Nice.
Anyways, with that, I lost my place. Oh yeah, the poll. So we still got a poll going on. We're still not complete with that. We're gonna go another week here, and we'll reveal. We're gonna ask it about your favorite holiday movies. Multi-check, so you can check any ones that you really like to watch for Christmas. So feel free to do that. We've right now we have the options for Gremlins, A Christmas Story, Miracle on 34th Street. We're talking about the 1947 version, the original version. Anti-Mame, Black Christmas, Die Hard, It's a Wonderful Life, The Muppet Christmas Carol, Santa Claus the Movie, which still, I think, has the best Santa Claus in my and the Santa Claus with the Tim Allen. Just to give you guys some ideas, one person actually currently has voted for The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yay.
So that could be an option for you. The other person said any of the Doctor Who Christmas specials. And we have a new one coming up here too. So just to kind of give you an idea of what we're looking at, we're going to keep this open forever because we never close any of these.
All right.
But next week we will give you the final results. So please pop over to CubsOutLoud.com. Just go into the post. I'll have it posted there. Just to click your choices. And as I said, we always have the other option as well. So if none of these kind of scratch your whatever, then, well, there you go. So anyways, moving on. We got this. Demon, start us off.
All right. Call this Santa Wolf. Short, sweet. Hairy, bearded guy in union suit and Santa hat.
Have I ever mentioned I have a Santa fetish?
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah. This is just super hot. And yeah. So
yeah.
And falls along the holiday theme. So Santa Wolf. Woof. Woof. Okay.
Woof.
Eric.
Eric.
My pick is Oh Christmas Cat, Oh Christmas Cat, and it is a Tumblr collection of photographs of Christmas trees with cats in them or on them.
Awesome.
My favorite being the very last one, where all you see is the backside of a cat with its tail sticking out, and they pause.
In his feet.
Oh. Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. Going back to the smut. so,
shocking.
Yes, I just call this my friend's, my hot friend. Yes. God. So,
and it's like shower selfies and I'm studying Hori, he says. So,
yeah.
Probably because of his last two where he's kind of spreading his cheek.
Yeah. My friend Stephen, who lives in Canada, Edmonton.
Nice.
Very hot. Mm-hmm. And I've told him that if I do move to the Pacific Northwest, he always has some place to put his ass. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways,
Jeff.
So, mine, I don't know why I call it this, but I'm calling it hot cha. And it's just a big burly bear and a leather jack, a leather chaps, some other leather ish thing. And he's got a leather hat in his hands, and he's nice and bearded, and he's got a good belly, and
yeah.
Okay.
So,
get it. Oh, I've seen this one. Oh, good.
I called it Tats in the Shower. I don't know who this gentleman is, but I absolutely adore his Tumblr account because he has lots of selfies, and he has amazing ink.
Yeah.
He's got sleeves. Both the left and right arms are done. He's got across the shoulder blades of his back. And he's also got matching calf leg wraps of it. And it's all done in black. So it's tribal, but different. And this one in particular, this picture, he's actually walking into the shower.
Uh-huh.
And he's got this, to me, damn near perfect chunky but muscular kind of body type.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he works out, but he's not a muscle god. You know, he's got curves and soft spots in all the right places. And I have to thank Chess for like following him, because I caught the image off of Chess's, and so I started checking out, and I'm like, I don't know who this man is, I don't know his name, I don't know where he lives, but
I went through there.
He's probably lucky that we're not in the same place at the same time. I'm just going to say that. So
that's just nice.
Or unlucky.
Yeah, I don't know. He's absolutely hot and adorable. So
as Eric says, he's chuscular.
Yes. Oh yes.
Chunky and muscular. Chuscular. All right, now I'm going to go to Underground, or not Underground, what am I going to?
Urban Dictionary. And add in the new term, chuscular.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Moving on into the links here. Recently, I think it was on Facebook, somebody linked to an article from a website called Chubster.
Yeah.
So talking about men of size and such. And they had a link to Scout underwear. And I do have to say, I like most of their models. Not all of them, but I like most of them. So I bought a pair. I'm still waiting for it to come and everything. But so I want to point out Scott underwear and being like, and it looks like they designed, like when you're talking about the bigger guys. Looks like they've already pretty much designed it for the bigger guys. So if you need a let's see, your triple XL or even a quad XL, I think like a 4XL. I think they go up to 4XL. It's waist size 49 to 54. They'll have it, and instead of just being like the same thing, just bigger, they've designed it so that the trunks fit better for the larger gentleman.
Cool.
So,
I might have
I will say they're not cheap.
Well, of course not.
they're about $30 a pair.
No.
So I've ordered it. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that takes forever to get, so I don't have it yet. But I will report when I do get them, and let you all know. Awesome. What they feel like and everything, but they look kind of cool, and their models are
nice.
Jinx. So that's my links of the week is a Chubster article, so you can read that, and also link directly to Scott Underwear. So cool. Check that out, David.
Alrighty, so mine is a fun little seriously funny or seriously for real blog spot. And it's called Walmart called Your Christmas Photos Are Ready. And it is a about 24 pics of some really not just hilarious, but kind of creepy. Actually.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Really creepy. Christmas pictures that apparently are real, and people have taken these pictures.
Who doesn't want to do a Christmas pic of mom and dad in a bathtub?
No. That just is that. No. There's the my favorites are the I'm assuming guy in the holiday sweater, vest and holiday shirt, petting the cat. I fear for the cat. And oh god, what was the other one? Come on, where are you at? Oh, the mask, and that I'm leaving it at that. The mask.
Oh, the Lucha Libre masks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about the Lucha Libre mask. I'm talking about the unicorn horse mask.
I do have one problem though. Those might be from Walmart. Some of them might be from Walmart. But there's one in there that's actually a still from a John Waters movie.
Oh. Oh well.
Yeah, because I'm a huge John Waters fan. Shock, surprise, I know. But yeah, it's a production still from a John Waters movie. I think it's from, I want to say Female Trouble. But yeah, it just, sorry.
So these are just some hilarious pictures and whatnot. So they enjoy. Robert.
Christmas cookies for singles.
Sorry.
This is a chick who does book reviews, tipsy book reviews. Yeah, love her and love her cookies. Seriously.
This is funny. I mean, it's just all the little asides and everything that she kind of puts in this that just kind of, you know,
slashing at the butter like you're slashing at your ex's genitals.
Yeah.
Just totally the fucked cat. Up. Totally
wipe
fucked
away that hope.
Yeah,
just wipe it away.
Just
and dreams.
Yeah, a friend of mine posted this on Facebook. She reposted it, then she said, we need to do this. And I said, cookies and cocktails, can't think of anything better.
Happy Christmas.
So, Eric, going from food to something else.
To the other end of that process, I've picked a book I picked up on Kindle. It's 99 cents right now on Kindle. It is I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats. And it's a fantastic pickup. I'm just going to read you the title poem. It tells you everything you need to know about cat and cat philosophy. Her new sweater doesn't smell of me. I could pee on that. She's gone out for the day and left her laptop on the counter. I could pee on that. Her new boyfriend just pushed my head away. I could pee on him. She's ignoring me, ignoring her. I could pee everywhere. She's making up for it by putting me on her lap. I could pee on this. I could pee on this.
By the way, they also have a calendar.
Yes, they do. And the author, Francesco, some Italian name I can't say, Marisculi, has the new dog version. I could chew on this.
Nice.
Just in time for the holiday.
Just in time for the holidays. Yeah. And you can get it at Amazon.com.
Yeah, and the Kindle edition is only 99 cents.
Nice.
So good deal. Although the dog version, the I Can Chew on This, the Kindle edition is 808.
So yeah, that just came out.
A little bit more expensive, but I don't know. I think it would be totally worth it. So maybe I'll link it into the show notes so that you guys can click on that link in the show notes and purchase it. So then a little bit comes back to me.
Nice.
To help improve the show, of course. So I'm actually going to add that in there. There we go.
All righty.
So we've got the link there. Anyways, moving on. Gary.
For those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, you may have already seen that I posted this. I thought it was incredibly inventive. My only criticism is it's not long enough.
Yeah.
It's called Peanuts Christmas Dance in New York City. And I have to give nothing but kudos to this group of people who recreated in real time a real replica of the Peanuts Christmas dance from the Christmas cartoon special. I was wondering what they were going to do about the Snoopy thing. I won't destroy it, but or give it away by spoiling it. But if you watch it, it's only about 2 minutes long. But I thought it was fucking fantastic that they like closed part of a street briefly and did a flash mob of them doing the dance.
Yes.
With real people in place of all the characters dressed and acting and dancing like them. I thought it was awesome. So
it is fun. I think it's one of my favorite holiday shows that I watch. This is why it's lasted for God, what, 30 years?
Interesting little side note. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but there's a thing going around on Tumblr, and it's actually, I looked at it, I think it's a true story, where the animators had done the special, and the executives at ABC had been watching it, and after it was done, one of the executives said, "This'll, you know, we'll play it once, but nobody will ever remember it." And one of the animators, who had a few, was standing at the back and basically said, "Fuck you, it's going to run for 100 years," and then fell to the floor. I think we've proven the animator right. everybody Thank loves this thing. I mean, seriously, it's one of my few Christmas concessions that I will watch. And because I grew up watching it, and I grew up with somebody in my family who loves Peanuts. And so, but anyway, moving on.
Peanuts has always been a big thing in our family. So, all right. And let me see. That's it. That's the end of the show. Please contact us. Follow us. Pop over to our website, cubsoutlet.com. Leave a comment on the blog. You click the little donate button, please. Or hey, if you still got some shopping to do, go ahead and use that Amazon search and search for your stuff right there from our website. You can shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google.com/+cubsoutloud. Please pop over to bearunderground.net, one of our favorite bear websites, and join our group. And feel free to post whatever you want there as well. Also, please give us a review on iTunes, whatever you put there. I will read it, whether it's 4-star, 5-star, or any star. I will read it verbatim.
Nice.
I've already had a dead baby joke, so let's try something else, okay? So it'll be a little bit more. Also, we're on Stitcher Radio, so give us a thumbs up there. You can find me anywhere on the internet as Box Tick, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other. Box Cub could be very interesting to people.
You can find me as Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground, and Tumblr.
And you can find me as Gamer Bear on Bigger City or as Eric Patton on Google Plus.
I can be found pretty much anywhere as GearBear73 that I want to be found on the web or on apps.
And you can find me as pretty much as Robbie Bobby everywhere or as Confused Muse on Tumblr.
Ooh. And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Bye.
Goodnight, everybody.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Good night.